Welcome back to the Jennifer Hammond Show on SiriusXM Urban View.
This is Jennifer Hammond. Welcome back. We are loving this series that we've been doing about how to improve your neighborhoods. So important to really look at this from so many different aspects. Always remember, your neighborhood is either getting better or getting worse. It never, ever stays exactly the same. And that's just a universal principle. Whether you want to look at it from, you know, whether it's material objects, everything is either getting better or getting worse. So what are you doing right now to make your neighborhood better? So as we add different voices to this conversation, one of the things that happens so often is, you know, people, when they end up having an illness or a loved one has an illness, so often we're looking for how do you prevent becoming homeless when you have a loved one who has an illness. It's so important that we look at this. So my next guest that we have that's joining this conversation is Dave Nassani. Oh, Dave, tell me how to say your last name properly.
Nassani.
Thank you, Nassani. He's a best-selling author of It's My Life to Reclaim Your Caregiver's Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. So we'll definitely talk a little bit about it. And you also have an iTunes podcast called The Caregivers Radio Show. And we want to make sure that people know about that. We'll put that up on our social media as well. But when we're talking about neighborhoods and how we can really, you know, help each other, it's really important that when a patient comes home from the hospital, first of all, their home needs to be safe. Dave, how can they make their home safe?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, first of all.
Of course.
And just a brief history, 22 years ago, my beautiful wife had a massive stroke, left her severely speech impaired, paralyzed in the right side. I lived in the hospital with her for 6 weeks. And finally, when it was time to come home, they says, oh, we have to come and make sure that your home is safe. And I said, what? And so, oh, yeah, you're going to need a ramp here. You're going to need grab bars here, you know. Does she go upstairs often? I says, yeah, that's her craft room. Oh, well, we're going to have to do something with that. And my gosh, all you've got to do after you get over the shock is figure out if you know a contractor, because you're going to need him. And so the first thing that you have to do is just look around and follow their advice. Most hospitals will actually give you a long list of things to do. And you have to decide, should you do it yourself? Should you hire a contractor? Or maybe buy some of those prefab ramps and grab bars and get a handyman to install them?
I think it's really important that we think about that. So often, even when I'm doing home inspections, because I'm a licensed real estate agent, it's amazing how many times there's not a handrail where just even by the local building standards, there's supposed to be a handrail.
Sure.
And there's just those. But you don't even think about the fact that you need to look at it. And when we look at the whole topic of aging in place, we've also looked at that. So whether it's a critical illness that you come home from a hospital and you need to figure out how to make your home safe, again, one of my passions is helping veterans. And so often they come home from war. And, you know, it's like, you know, talking about your wife when she came home and, you know, we need to figure out how to make the home safe. And quite frankly, how do we make it livable again? I'm sure you have some stories about that.
Yes. In fact, God bless the Veterans Administration, because they're there for veterans. And even though, you know, we heard a lot of criticism lately about the terrible job they're doing, some things they're actually doing right.
Yay!
And, you know, as caregivers, especially if the veteran is deceased, now you have a spouse, you know, who might be getting some veterans benefits, but they don't know about a lot of things that is available to the spouse of a veteran. For example, let's say that they need to go into an assisted living facility. The veterans will actually pay for the spouse of a veteran to go into a facility, and that could be you know, $1,500 a month, that could be $3,000 a month. And so when you come home, I would look into the veterans, maybe seeing if they've got a program, which I think they do, of installing some of this stuff,
yeah.
Especially if the veteran is still alive or even if the veteran has deceased. So there are lots and lots of programs out there. from the state, from local, from county, from even the federal government, and from the veterans organization. And you just have to do some homework.
Yeah, and I love that you brought that up, because not only are there local programs, and it's really interesting if you just start, you know, again, how do we make our neighborhoods better? One of them is that we really start communicating, and unfortunately, sometimes we don't start to communicate until we have a need. And I hate to say sometimes it's a hurricane or a flood or a fire or some dramatic thing that happens. But it might also be because, you know, you have a veteran in the family, or you have somebody who's come home from the hospital, and you need to find a way to make your home safer. Find out those local government programs. Find out the state programs and federal. HUD has some interesting programs, and they're always constantly changing. So look into what would apply for your, and find a person, they have all those jokes and those ads about bank human. Well, when you need to make your neighborhood better, you need to find a way to find a human who can talk to you, and you can talk about, how do we make our home safe again? How do we make it safe for somebody who's coming home from a hospital, a veteran coming home from the war, or if you have a critical illness, or even someone just getting older, and now you need to make a bedroom on the first floor. You've never needed one there before.
I was just about to mention that. A lot of bedrooms now are on the upper floors. And so I have a friend of mine who came home, and he had to do some major remodeling. Fortunately, he was a contractor. So they had some kind of a guest room in the ground floor. So they made that into a bedroom, and unfortunately they sleep separately now, which is kind of sad, but there was no other way. So when they come in the house, because she's wheelchair bound, so that's her bedroom now on the ground floor, and the master bedroom is still upstairs. So sometimes, you know, you just have to make some sacrifices just to survive and to be functional.
And I think the interesting part about those changes, we've done a series recently on smart homes and smart home technology. And also we found that some of the smart home features really help when someone's wheelchair bound, you know, whether it's answering, you know, being able to use their phone to, you know, use a video doorbell and see who's at the door.
Right.
Or even in that scenario, I was thinking if they're, you know, separated on floors, they could they can use FaceTime. And say hello.
I know. Technology is wonderful.
It's so cool. I mean, you know, I laugh about, you know, we used to have the cans with a string. You know, you might be able to use FaceTime now or walkie-talkies, or, you know, find a way to make it fun when life changes and it's giving you some interesting challenges. We want to find a way that we can find the silver lining, you know, in any rainstorm, anything. It's always about learning how to update those modifications in your house, but do it in a way that, again, one of the things that's always important to me is, are you increasing the real estate value? Is your home going to go up, or is it going to go down? So permanent modifications, so some things are going to be temporary and some things are going to be permanent. Would you talk a little bit about the differences?
Sure. Just like when you're selling your home, you know, and you've got this beautiful wallpaper all over the house, like my wife, who's an interior decorator, she just loved this wallpaper, and it's down the hallway, it's in the bedroom. And when we were selling our house, the realtor says, oh, we need to get rid of the wallpaper. And of course, my wife took it personally. That's my wallpaper. But, you know, there are things that you need to do to make the home more sellable. So the first thing you want to ask yourself, how temporary or permanent, or how much money should I spend on this ramp and the facility thing that's going to take you up the stairs? You know, if it's temporary, then just don't spend a lot of money. Just do something that will get you by for a year or so. But if it's permanent, then you might want to ask yourself, well, how long am I going to stay in this house? Now, unfortunately, we lived in a beautiful house in Burbank, California. And, I mean, it was 3,500 square feet. It was two-story. It was multi-level. The pool was in the front yard, so there were stairs coming up to the front door. And my wife loved this place. I mean, she wanted to be buried in the backyard. That's how permanent that place was supposed to be. And when we found out, you know, because my business was 30 miles away, when she found out that we had to move, boy, she was not a happy camper at all. So fortunately, you know, the costs of the ramps and the grab bars and all of that, we didn't spend very much on it, because we knew that we weren't going to be able to stay there. So when we did move, we moved into a much smaller house closer to my business, and it was a one-story, and even the pool, thank God, it was made just for us. It had one of those handicap ramp entrances, no stairs. You just kind of, you could roll the wheelchair right into the pool. So we got lucky on that. And everyone says, oh, did you do that just for that? No, it was like that.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that the elevator that you installed, can it be removed easily? Maybe even take it to your other house? Can the stair lift, you know, that goes up the stairs to get you to the top floor, can that be removed? Is it cost effective? Can the grab bars be removed from the bathrooms to make sure that you're not leaving big, ugly holes in there that can't be filled up? So those are the kind of decisions you need to make, temporary or permanent.
And also, I know that you mentioned it's really important to be looking and talking to your real estate agent about this.
Right.
Because in some...
You may not always agree with them, but they're always right.
Well, but I also believe that you should also talk to more than one. You know, just like when you're deciding to hire a real estate agent, and I have, you know, often put up on my website, if you're interested in, you know, there's 17 questions you should ask every time you interview a real estate agent. And don't skip that process. And I laugh because I've had people who listen to me on the show and then they come in and use my 17 questions and ask me the 17 questions. And I laugh and laugh because it's really important that we go through it. And to me, it's a really great roadmap on how... Can we make sure that we're communicating the way you want to communicate, that I have given you my opinion, which may be different from another real estate agent's opinion, on what's going to increase the value? In this neighborhood, we may say that, you know, if you've installed an elevator, it's going to increase the value of your house way more than what it costs you to put in there. So don't remove it.
Right.
Find a way.
Something like an elevator, you definitely want to hang on to that because, heck, you can, bring heavy merchandise or equipment or a bunch of boxes.
Or all your Costco packages.
And so that would be an asset. But some other things, you know, maybe people don't want their beautiful stairway to have half the room taken up by the stair lift, you know.
Right. And also...
They actually need it.
And that's one of the things that also often there are zoning laws that may prevent, like one of the things that we see around the D.C. area is we're seeing that people like to put those tiny homes in their backyard so that they have an in-law suite or, you know, what could be called a granny suite. And you need to check with those zoning laws. But how do you feel about that, having that in-law suite?
Well, I personally think that they should allow more granny dwellings on single-family residences, or at least have some kind of variance to be able to apply for, because, number one, I think it always increases the value of the house, because everybody has kids, everybody has teenagers, and every now and then your teenager reaches an age that you just wish they didn't live with you, and if you can just stick them, you know, about 500 feet away, perhaps, or 100 feet away, in another part of the house that has its own entrance. And it's true that most zoning ordinances might allow you to have that extra outside door in a room, but they probably won't allow you to have a stove or something like that, maybe just a microwave. But, you know, you can bring a stove in, and a lot of these exhaust fans don't need, you know, for you to put a hole outside. A lot of them are just self-contained, you know, with charcoal filters. And when you sell it, you get rid of it. So people do that all the time anyway. So what I say. I'm in favor of granny houses or dwellings that have their own entrance because, you know, we have three kids. We've raised them over the years, and every single one of them seems to enter a phase of life like divorce or whatever where they need to come back. Sometimes they bring their kids with them. And so those kinds of things are very, very helpful to someone who used to be an empty nester, but now the nest is getting full again.
The only consistent in life is change.
Absolutely. And taxes, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and one of the things that you mentioned that I wanted to highlight as well is that, so if you're going to put like an in-law suite or a granny suite on your property, so maybe you put a tiny home, and some of the tiny homes are on wheels, so you can move them if you need to. But you might want to add something
I've
like that.
I've never seen those.
Oh, they're so adorable. I love those. They look like little miniature
like
dollhouses.
Something like that?
It's tiny homes. In fact, HGTV has some amazing tiny home series, and some of the guys that I've interviewed, so much fun when they put these little tiny homes. And you can put them on wheels. You can also put them in a permanent way as well. But if the zoning laws
take
don't...
Take them with you when you move, huh?
And take them with you when you move. So they can be flexible like that. But
Granny can even ride in it as you're going down the freeway.
That might be true. Well, one of the things that you said I wanted to highlight was that you might also be able to appeal appeal if a zoning law doesn't allow you to do whatever you were hoping to do, like building a little, you know, an extra little house out back, you might be able to get an exception. So always think about it. And I always have a phrase that I say, don't accept the word no from someone who doesn't even have the authority to give you a yes. So
absolutely. And they do make exceptions, you know, especially if a tragedy happened, like my wife had a stroke. She lost her speech, became paralyzed on the right side. She's in a wheelchair now. And a couple of years was pretty hard on us because that was what we call the grief process, you know, and it wasn't very pretty. There was a lot of anger and a lot of depression. And of course, you know, I was the only one around that she can share that anger and depression with. And so I'm just so grateful that eventually, after a couple of years, she finally reached that magic place called acceptance. And we were able to move on with our lives. And she kind of realized that she's still here and maybe God's not finished with her again yet. And she reinvented herself. And now we travel the world. And my gosh, I wrote a book and I've got the radio show about caregivers. And so we are just so grateful that she is very independent now. And so we just are wonderfully, I'm just grateful.
Blessed. Yeah, I was going to say, you are so blessed.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think you are so blessed. And it's amazing to be able to go through that. And I mean, before my grandmother passed away, I spent an enormous amount of time in intensive care. I don't know how many times they tried to kick me out of the intensive care unit, which was hilarious because I was like, oh, yeah, she's 95. I want to see how this is going to go because she will freak out if you try to kick me out of here. So I've slept in so many chairs for days on end, you know, on different times. And she was terrified. You know, a lot of her family, you know, it's Polish and literally her cousins and stuff were put in concentration camps. And so being in a hospital with all those noises and such, she was just irrationally afraid. And I tell you, being the caretaker, after a while, you're like, I still have to make a living. I don't, you know, I wasn't married. I'm still not married. And I didn't have anybody else that was going to pay for my mortgage. Like, I had to go back and make a living. And I'm sleeping in a chair because she's freaked out. So there is an enormous amount of, you know, being the unpaid caretaker of a family member or a loved one. And there are so many aspects of that. So I do want you to talk a little bit. We're just about out of time. Talk about your radio show and how people can tune into that.
Sure. My website is very simple. Just Google the two words, Dave and caregiver, or even caregiverdave.com. And everything is there on my website. I've got my radio show, which is to caregivers, Dave, the caregiver's caregiver. Every week, Wednesday at noon or so, I have I interview experts on caregiving and caregivers themselves, because after all, they are the experts. And we just want to keep caregivers out of the morgue and out of the hospital, because 30% of caregivers actually die before their loved ones do.
Wow.
And 60% just become sicker and eventually need a caregiver of their own. So this is something that's happening constantly. I mean, the baby boomers are getting older and older, and they are most of the population's parents and grandparents. And when that happens, I mean, one slip, one fall, one hip surgery, and boom, you are a caregiver overnight, just like I was. I mean, I'm in the gas station business, and all of a sudden, I became a caregiver. I didn't even know what a caregiver was.
Wow.
But what I was saying before is that ask and let people know that if it's a temporary modification, they may give you the variance to make the changes. And I'm just so grateful that we did what we had to do. And sometimes you may have to, and I'm sorry for saying this, but you may have to just do it anyway and then just put it back the way it was when you sell the house. But in addition to our website, I've appeared on 24 morning shows because I wrote a book. It's My Life to Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity. It's a best-selling book, and I've spoken at Harvard with Suzanne Summers. I'm still here in New York. We just finished up speaking at NASDAQ. We had our picture on the Jumbotron.
Yay!
And so we are spreading the message that if you are a caregiver, there is hope. Don't give up. Don't get depressed. Come to our website, join our team, and let us be your support. Let us love on you, because there is hope. You need to know that others just like you have survived this thing called caregiving, and you can too.
And your website, I know, has some uplifting interviews. You have your coaching programs, your book, all that stuff. And I wanted to say, please give your beautiful wife a hug from me. I love her so much. Her beautiful energy. Oh. It was so much fun to meet both of you in person. I'm so grateful.
Last thing, thanks to Cindy Lisinski, my realtor, who helped me, you know, prepare for this interview to catch up on my real estate stuff. So
Yay! She's
located in California. And if you ever need a realtor down in California, her number is 661-510-5516. And she's a sweetheart.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks for all that you're doing, spreading the word. I think it's so important that we, again, make sure that our caretakers are taken care of as well. Sometimes it can feel very much like a thankless job. Dave, thank you.
And thank you for having me on the show. I know it didn't seem like a good fit at first, caregiving, real estate, but we made it work.
We can definitely always find a way, because it's so important that we always are improving and looking at each aspect of our homes and our neighborhoods. So thank you, Dave.
Yeah, we don't want you to be homeless.
Yeah, exactly. Don't become homeless. Well, thank you so much. And we'll put all your information up on our social media.
Great. Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. God bless you. And we'll be back after the break with more of The Jennifer Hammond Show.
Jennifer Hammond will be back with more of her expertise on real estate in a few. And it's only on Sirius XM Urban View.